the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quipito and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy pre-Mother's Day weekend for all you
there
moms.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, those late April showers are really going to help my Mayflowers.
Oh, yes.
There were quite the showers last night. My plants are very happy.
Yes.
It was perfect.
Yes, it was. They'll be nice and shiny today when the sun comes.
You have a shiny prayer for us?
I have a shiny prayer. You ready?
Oh, shine it up, girl.
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we who have come to know the grace of the Lord's resurrection may, through the love of the Spirit ourselves, rise to newness of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saints Marian and James, pray for us.
Okay.
Pray for us. We have a great lineup for today's show, starting off with Eric Miller. He's a state advocate for the Louisiana State Council. He'll give us, of the Knights of Columbus, he'll give us a monthly update today. That'll be in just a few moments. Hans Plate joins us. He is with Vinay Research, and he's going to talk about a new study focusing on Catholics' well-being in a post-pandemic world. So we'll talk about those findings. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will give us a recipe to try this weekend. And Rod Bennett joins us with a new book called These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes. So it's going to be a great show today. Real quick, I saw this in the news this morning, which I wanted to throw out there. You know, I'm not sure which cities these will affect, but a lot of pro-abortion groups will be protesting outside of a lot of Catholic churches on Mother's Day this Sunday, because a lot of the justices on the Supreme Court are Catholic. So, and they believe that is an influence to the Dobbs v. Jackson and the leak that has been earlier this week. So, you know, I don't know if it'll affect our listening area, but we do have a lot of people across the country listening. Yeah. So, you know, just pray. Yeah, that's all we can do right now is just pray and pray for peace. So,
amen.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, it's a good heads up. Mm-hmm. And speaking of heads up, the rain has moved on and out of our area, except along the Louisiana coastline. You folks in Houma, Golden Meadow, and also Port Sulphur, going to get some rain at least till about 10 or 11 o'clock, and then it'll be out of your area as well. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine for the rest of today, Saturday, and Sunday, Mother's Day. So it's going to be a beautiful weekend. A little warm, but nice. Upper 80s will be the temperatures, and the lower 60s will be your nighttime temps, with a lot of humidity, though. So, ladies, just don't worry about your hair. Put a ball cap on or whatever your hat you desire. You'll be fine. Winds are going to be blowing about 8 to... Or go with the frizz.
Go with the frizz.
What the heck? You know? I mean, doesn't really matter to us, guys. We love you anyway. Temperature-wise, Bay St. Louis, the warm spot, 70 degrees. Going to warm up much greater than that. Elsewhere, everybody else is in the 60s, whether it's Baton Rouge, New Orleans, North Shore, Houma, Thibodaux, all at about 68 degrees. So there you go. There's your temps. There's your forecast. And got a lot coming your way. Again, the gospel reflection. You're not going to want to miss that. And we're going to be talking to Eric Miller with the Knights of Columbus right here on Wake Up. It's 5 after.
I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Earlier during the Eucharistic discourse, the crowd was murmuring when Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Now they are quarreling like their rebellious forefathers in the wilderness because Jesus repeated this claim, adding the graphic expression, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." They challenge, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Note, Jesus did not attempt to reach their understanding with logic or to water down his meaning with some symbolic explanation to make it easier for them to believe. Rather, he challenged them to surrender to the gift of faith. Therefore, Jesus responded with emphasis, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." Whoa! Two things stand out in this statement. First, Jesus used the graphic verb trogo for eat, which describes the physical act of eating, that is, chewing. He is clearly speaking about real eating. His meaning could not be more explicitly stated. Secondly, he challenged their faith by adding the graphic words, "and drink his blood." This would be particularly shocking to his Jewish audience because the Mosaic law forbade eating anything connected with blood in it. St. Paul taught that faith is the conviction of things not seen. These men have witnessed Jesus' miracles, which prepared them to believe even though they did not understand. The narrative ends tragically. Even disciples turned back on Jesus and abandoned him. This is the only time that the disciples break with Jesus over a doctrinal issue. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "We have come to believe." Unfortunately, not all. For Jesus, speaking of Judas, added, "One of you is a devil." We need to faithfully respond with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. 11 after 7 on a Friday. Hopefully you survive Cinco de Mayo. If not, you got the weekend to recoup. And we thank you for listening to Wake Up, because we're going to be that pill that gets you going. And right now, speaking of get you going, Eric Miller, state advocate of the Louisiana State Knights of Columbus, he is here to share with us his monthly update as far as what the Knights are doing in Louisiana. Good morning, brother man.
Good morning. How is everyone?
Oh, we're doing great. And how about you? You doing all right?
We're doing fine. I've actually recuperated from our state convention, which we had this past weekend. And so that's our first live convention in 3 years. So it was like a learning experience. We had some learning curves we had to overcome, but because we hadn't had a live convention in so long. But everybody had a great time.
Well, up in Alexandria. And so share with us some of the key events or things that took place.
So we reelected all our state officers. George Martin was elected state deputy, and Vince Whittington, the state secretary, and Bobby Charpentier was state treasurer, and Richard Gandel, state warden. And unfortunately to everyone, I was reelected as a state advocate, so they've got to put up with me for another year.
Oh, well, that's good. That way we won't have to change our pictures and marquees and everything over here on the production side.
That's right. And we had Brother Knight Buddy Williams received the Louisiana Family of the Year Award. They're from the Sacred Heart Council over in Broussard. And our past state deputy award recipient was I.J. Taru from Council 8978 in Sulphur. So,
well, man, you covered
a lot of other. A lot of other winners and a lot of other awards, so it was a very, very busy weekend.
What about the District of the Year? Don't y'all have that award still?
We do have the District of the Year. I make notes of everything. I know what Damon's going to cover with me.
I didn't mean to throw you a curveball. That's okay.
District of the Year was... I don't have it up. It's on our website, and I'm looking at it. It says District of the Year and when it was awarded and who awarded it, but it doesn't say who got it.
Oh, well, that's okay. All right. maybe it goes out to everyone, because I will say this. What are some of the things that y'all are working on in the month of May and June? Y'all never stop having projects. What's one of the key things we could talk about in the next minute?
Well, the next minute, so the Vinton Council 6103 is having their First Friday Fish Fry from 4:30 to 7 today, $10 a plate. And you can go to their Facebook page and get more information. And that's just Vinton-Knights of Columbus Council 6103. So that's going on. We've got our fraternal benefit nights coming up May 24 and June 14. And if you want more information about attending that, you can contact the general agents, Dustin Dean at dustin.dean@kfc.org or Dan Kabriak at dan.kabriak@kfc.org, and it's C-A-B-I-R-A-C. So that's what we've got coming up, and then our next big event is the state bowling tournament in August.
All right. And real quick, if someone's interested in joining the Knights of Columbus, what do they need to do?
They need to go to the website at www.kfc.org/join us, or just go to kfc.org and there's a big button called Join. You just click on it and it takes you, and you can join online. And we'd love to have every Catholic man over the age of 18 join us.
Eric Miller, thank you for joining us as well here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 6th. Today we celebrate Saints Marian and James. Often, it is hard to find much detail from the lives of saints of the early church. What we know about the 3rd century martyrs we honor today is likewise minimal. But we do know that they lived and died for the faith. Almost 2,000 years later, that is reason enough to honor them. Born in North Africa, Marian was a lector or reader, while James was a deacon. Their trials came during the persecution of the Emperor Valerian. Prior to their arrest, Marian and James were visited by two bishops who encouraged them to remain steadfast. Soon after, the bishops themselves were martyred. A short time later, Marian and James were also imprisoned and interrogated. The two readily confessed their belief in Christ, and for that, they were tortured. While in prison, they are said to have experienced visions, including one of the two bishops who had visited them earlier. On the last day of their lives, in the year 259, Marian and James joined other Christians facing martyrdom. They were blindfolded and put to death, and their bodies were thrown into the water. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Our next guest is Hans Plate. He's the founder of Vinea Research, and today he's going to talk about a new study focusing on Catholics' well-being in a post-pandemic world. You guys, these findings are actually quite interesting. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going to come eventually, so we're here to talk to Hans. He's going to give us details. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good morning. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So tell us, Vinea Research, what exactly do you look at? And tell us, because like I said earlier, I knew these findings and these studies were going to come. How many Catholics are still going to church in a post-pandemic world during the pandemic and all of that? So how do you go about finding something like this? And what have you found in this study?
Sure, sure. So I've been in the research world for a bit over 25 years in commercial areas, so doing work for various businesses. I formed Vinea about 8 years ago to try to understand a little bit about Catholic insights, right? And Vinea really focuses mostly on Catholic type of research. And one of the things we did on this one was we basically developed a survey after talking with a couple of pastors, testing out a trial run of a survey. And then we work with the large panel organization. So this is a group that has, as part of its database, a whole bunch of people that have agreed to participate in surveys. And so we polled them. We polled a little over 1,500, asking them all sorts of questions about the pandemic, the effect it had on their general lives, their spiritual lives, and of course, future mass intent, future giving intent, things of that nature. And like any study like this that was, you know, fairly wide ranging in terms of the topics, there's a mix of good news and bad news. One of the pieces of good news was around how close people retain their faith, or how much people retain their faith in God. Because a lot of people went through some hardships. In our sample, we found that about 39% said that their lives today are worse off than they were with the pandemic. And so there were a lot of ways that the pandemic had a negative effect on their lives. Physical well-being was one of them. Mental health, another one. But despite all those negative effects, their faith in God remained what it was before the pandemic, if it didn't grow. So 50% of our samples said that their faith in God got better. 60% said that they became closer to God during this time. So I think that's an important, you know, one highlight of positive news is that they remain faithful to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there's no denying it, Hans. Our lives before COVID are completely different than our lives now for a lot of people, especially in our world today. But I want to also learn about the findings on those who are attending Mass. Do you have anything on that? Because, you know, at the beginning we were watching Mass at home. And for many of us, it wasn't until a few months later that we could return to Mass. But for a lot of people in the United States and across the world, that wasn't right away. So what have you found in maybe people around the country and those attending Mass? Are they still attending Mass, or have they kind of stepped away?
Well, this is where we get into some of the not-so-positive news, right? So our study focused largely on people that go to Mass more often. So if for this mm-hmm. part of the question, we look at those who prior to the pandemic would go to Mass weekly or more often, yes, they stayed engaged with the Mass during COVID, largely by streaming and TV and other methods that were online. And one of the questions we asked is, okay, so what do you anticipate doing come the summer of 2022? And mm-hmm. you know, 89% of those who previously went to Mass all the time, weekly and or more often, indicated that they would still, at least physically or virtually, attend Mass or observe Mass, same 4 out of 4 weekends in a month. However, the number who would actually physically be present is much lower. So the number was 61%. So right now, Catholics project that come this summer, only 60% of them will be at Mass physically all 4 weekends in a month. The second
wow.
part of that is,
okay.
is we asked... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go continue.
Sure, sure. So one of the things we ask then is among those who don't see themselves being physically at Mass, we ask them, why not? And there were two categories of responses that people could give. One of them had to do with health, safety, you know, having someone that's vulnerable in their household or that they interact with regularly. And that's fine, right? So there's one segment of people who cited those types of reasons. But there was another segment of people who cited what I call convenience or preference reasons. So people that said, well, it's easier to watch from home than it is to drive to Mass. I don't have to dress up, so I'd rather watch it from home. Masses are shorter, or I don't have to participate. I don't have to do the, you know, the gestures, the kneeling, the sitting, the standing, and vocalizing prayer. And that I think is the difficult part of this, right, or the harmful kind of finding that we had, which is that there are a large number of Catholics who, again, this is among the people that used to go or went before the pandemic, you know, weekly, that feel like, you know, the virtual kind of observation changed their disposition towards the Mass, and just, you know, they're more thinking about convenience than why they need to be present physically. They don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, and I know from my church parish and a lot of church parishes, they're not streaming anymore. So that I found that quite interesting. And we do have some elderly family members who don't go to Mass because of health reasons. And they don't watch it virtually because they say that it's, well, quite frankly, they said it's boring and they fall asleep. And, you know, when they're 80, 90 years old, and they used to go to daily Mass. So COVID has really changed that for a lot of people, I think. And that's just the reality of it. How can you help parishes when you bring these results to the table and say, this is what's going on? Are there any resources you can do to help parishes to kind of bring people back to how it was?
Well, I think there are two things that are going on. I mean, I think there are two things that parishes can do. First of all, I actually would advocate for streaming. One, you do have a portion of the population who are either elderly or sick or vulnerable or live with someone who is that need the Mass and want the Mass, and streaming was the only way they got the Mass. For the other folks that cite these convenience and preference reasons, I would still offer streaming because it's the only like thread that we have to them, only tie-in that we have to them. And maybe during these streamed Masses, we do a little bit of, I don't know, outreach or mini catechesis. And what I mean by outreach is like just telling them, welcome, please come back. It's important for you. We want to build our community. We want to, build in the physical community. Welcome them back. If necessary, tell them a little bit about whatever safety measures are still going on in the various parishes. I know that varies significantly across the country. Communicate that. And then maybe do some, like I said, mini catechesis around why it is important to be there. So not just welcoming them, but telling them a little bit more about why it's necessary for them to be physically present there, not only to receive communion, but just the sacrificial nature of the Mass. And then really, I think in some respects, we're kind of paying the price for, you know, maybe some poor catechesis around the Mass and understanding of the Mass that we need to start thinking about how do we correct. Because it almost seemed like too easy for people to not discard the Mass exactly, but just not see the importance of being there and thinking that it was sufficient to watch it virtually.
That is a big conversation on Twitter right now, is the catechesis, the Mass, and why people are not being involved. I see it all the time. And it shows how diverse members of the Catholic Church are currently right now. I think you make a great point with the virtual as well. There's a big difference between attending Mass and kneeling and receiving communion and sitting on your couch and doing that. But you make a great point. So how can people go and access this report, and will there be other studies as time moves on?
Yes. So on my website, viniaresearch.com, and Vinia is V-I-N-E-A, /COVID report, and I believe it's on my homepage as well. Yes, I do intend to do more studies like this going forward. For the most part, up until now, I've been working on projects that are for specific organizations or specific questions that they had. But with this study and another one that I have going on, the Kerygma, I'm starting the process of doing these national studies that, you know, we do internally, and one of them will continue to be to measure Mass attendance and the reasons for attending and the reasons that they're not. And then there are other subjects I want to get into, like prayer habits, you know, things of that nature. So probably quarterly, over the course of the year, I'll have studies like this coming out.
Hans, are you doing this on your own, or are you being paid to do this by an organization of some sort?
Well, no. So this study, we funded ourselves. We did this internally, basically, you know, reinvesting anything we make on other projects to fund studies like this. But I am looking to see if we can possibly partner with, you know, a couple different organizations that I'm in conversations with, so we can do this, you know, in partnership with others.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was asking. I thought maybe the diocese or the bishops or someone were supporting you, but I think this is a great endeavor on your part, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I'm very happy to do it.
Yeah, Hans Plate, founder of Vinea Research, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this. Sometimes it can be hard to listen to, but hey, it's what's going on right now. So thank you so much for doing this, Hans.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us right after the break. It's 30 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. President Biden and his press secretary, Jen Psaki, are refusing to condemn demonstrations against the homes of six sitting Supreme Court justices. Three of the justices live in Maryland. Another three live in Virginia, where demonstrations at private homes are illegal. With the prospect of turning to open violence and anarchy, the president's only comments are to blame abortion advocates for being too radical. Breitbart broke with news Thursday that Democrat U.S. Senate leader Chuck Schumer wants a Senate vote on unlimited abortion to exceed even Roe v. Wade. While he anticipates a losing vote to galvanize support for abortion-friendly Democrats, observers say the opposite is true. Ongoing polls show growing majorities supporting open restrictions on abortion. This is Life News Radio. News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. A Louisiana State House committee has approved a bill legally declaring the unborn as persons, thus turning abortion into homicide. While the personhood aspect is novel, even those voting for the measure say it faces stiff constitutional scrutiny. And a new national poll shows two likely Republican candidates, each beating President Biden, if the next presidential election were held today. By double-digit margins, President Biden comes in at 36 and 35% respectively against President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. If you are in the Baton Rouge area today, about 8:03, give or take a couple of minutes, we'll be praying the rosary. It's First Friday. So join us at 11924 Sunray Avenue in Baton Rouge to pray with us this morning. We have hot River Road coffee on and some treats from the Heavenly Donut.
I thought you were going to say a hot mess.
Bye. Well,
I thought she was going to say a hot donut.
Yep. Oh, then we got that.
Man.
I mean,
y'all
right
just want to go? Y'all go.
No, well, I figure with the Catholic foodie, you wouldn't mind me eating while y'all did the segment.
So Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us as he does every Friday. Jeff is the founder and producer of the Catholic Foodie blog and podcast. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I thought you were going to say hot crawfish.
Well, see, there you go. That sounds better to me. No, I'm kidding. Then, how are you?
Well, now I'm getting hungry.
Well, see, there you go. Are you planning a crawfish boil for Mother's Day?
Hey, I'm telling you, Mama loves crawfish, you know, so we will be crawfishing it up, although I hear we may get some rain.
Oh.
No.
Is that true?
No.
Maybe
you're
just
not
in New Orleans.
No, if it rains, it's going to be looking for you, pal.
That's right. Well, we've got like a little canopy thing, and we'll make it work.
There you go.
I got very slight chance there, Jeff.
You know, shrimp and boots and all that stuff, we're okay.
There you go. Put your duck and rebox on.
I can boil and wait at the same time.
Look at you. You multitask. Well, what recipe do you have for us today, Jeff?
Well, I know we have Mother's Day, of course, coming up, and a happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers. But one of the things that is also going on is Jazz Fest. And, you know, this time of the year, I can't, you know, it's like we live by seasons, right? I mean,
whether you're talking about
liturgically or just down here in Louisiana, and it's just we're in festival season. So
that's right.
One of the things that I thought I'd talk to you about, because I do have crawfish on the brain, I can't help it. But a few years back, golly, I think it was like 2014, I had been given permission to publish a recipe by Emeril Lagasse on the website, and it's for his version of crawfish bread in honor of Jazz Fest. Now, I mean, the crawfish bread at Jazz Fest is one of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people have it only there.
Right.
But you can also make it at home, and I've got recipes on there for like making it the traditional way. But this way that Emeril shared is sort of a fast and easy way.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know?
Sounds good.
So what you're basically doing, just to give you like a bird's eye view, you're making a crawfish filling that you will then put inside of French bread. So you just have a loaf of French bread. You can slice that, put the stuffing into it, throw it in the oven, and heat that up. As long as it's heated all the way through, the stuffing, the filling is already going to be cooked.
Right.
And in a way, to kind of give you a little, I mean, if I was trying to describe this to somebody who'd never had it before, it's almost like making like a crawfish etouffee almost.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be a thicker filling.
Etouffee sandwich.
It's going to go kind of like that.
Okay.
No, sans rice, right?
Right.
So anyway, here are the ingredients. Okay. Butter, chopped onion, chopped celery, chopped red bell pepper, minced garlic, some fresh thyme leaves, chopped. Now, this is an Emeril recipe, so he's calling for his Emeril's original essence.
Okay.
But as we have said before,
no
recipe police are not going to come after you. So you use what you want to use, okay? but some sort of seasoning like that. 1 pound of cooked Louisiana crawfish tails with any fat that you may have. So you can get those obviously frozen in the store. Mm-hmm. If you have any fresh ones on hand, you're welcome to use those.
Okay.
Salt, green onion tops, just the green part chopped. Mayonnaise, Creole mustard, or a spicy, like a grain, like a whole grain spicy mustard. Either provolone or mozzarella cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Grated cheddar cheese. And then French bread.
Okay. Right?
Soft French bread.
Okay.
So you're going to melt the butter in a large skillet. Add the onion, the celery, the bell pepper, and cook that until they kind of wilt, about 5 minutes. Add the garlic, the thyme. The seasoning, whatever you choose, he's got the essence of Emeril here. And stir that for about 2 minutes, cook that down, add the crawfish tails, the salt, and just continue to cook that, stir it, until the crawfish have warmed through and release any liquid, and that liquid has evaporated. So it's going to be about 3 minutes.
Okay.
You want to stir in the green onions and set that aside to cool.
Mm-hmm.
And preheat the oven to 350. Once the crawfish have cooled, you want to stir in the mayonnaise and the Creole mustard and the cheeses until it's well combined. Taste, adjust, season if necessary. And then the French bread, you can get a big old loaf. That's what we typically do. But sometimes in the stores, you can get like a two-pack, right? They're smaller size, but it's two-pack. Whatever is easiest, cut it down the middle. You're going to stuff the filling in there. And you can wrap it in tinfoil tightly, throw it in the oven. And just let that heat up all the way through about 25 to 30 minutes. That's going to make that cheese melt too.
Mm-hmm.
And then slice that into whatever size portions you want and go sit outside and enjoy.
Okay, now I have to say, I'm thrown by the stirring of the mayonnaise and mustard into it. So what is that? Mayonnaise gives it a creamier, because you got the butter, right?
It is. It is. It's going to be creamier, but it's also going to be, it's going to make it congeal. That's not the right word. What is the word?
Yeah.
It's going to bind it together.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
It's kind of like when
with
you
that
make
egg.
Tuna fish.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Right? You make tuna fish, what do? You add that mayonnaise to it. It's going to bring it together. Same thing here.
Okay.
That mustard is going to add a little kick if you're using a spicy Creole mustard, add a little kick to it.
Right.
And the cheese, of course, once that cheese melts, it's also going to bind it all together.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds yum. So you said you have more than one recipe on your website, catholicfoodie.com.
I have this, and I've got one where from Jill Benson put one together years ago. I think probably like 2011 or something.
Okay.
It's in Louisiana Kitchen Culture Magazine. They let me put that up there too. So her recipe is there, and Emeril's, and we have other Jazz Fest recipes on the website too.
Okay, good. I think you've shared with us Crawfish Monica before, so you have that one available.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a fan favorite there.
For sure, for sure. Okay, Jeff, when's your next cookbook coming out?
When you want to come help me cook and figure out what we're going to do. Okay.
But there is one kind of in the works, right? A little bit?
Yeah, which is odd because it's about fasting. So I don't know if you want to talk about that during Easter.
Nope, we're going to hold off on that. We still have a few more days of Easter, right? So
that's right.
Great. Jeff, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and try your great recipes and Emeril's recipe for the crawfish bread.
Well, CatholicFoodie.com is going to be the main hub there, but you can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those places. But I do have another one of the recipes that I have from him is a slow-roasted couchon de lait po' boy, also comes from Jazz Fest. So y'all check that one out.
Okay. Now, do we have to have the whole pit on this the whole pig on the spit to do that, or can we do?
It depends on if you want to do it the fun way or the fast way.
Gotcha. Okay, so you have a good recipe for the fast way.
Yeah. His recipe, I think, it just calls for like a pork roast.
Okay.
So you're not doing the whole pig, although that is fun. That's an adventure, you know.
I bet. Oh wow. So were y'all at Jazz Fest all weekend?
No. Seasons, right? And we're in that season of just busy family life.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
That's end of the school year for little Zelly and my older daughters who are here in school. And Christopher's about to graduate in Dallas. Wow. We're going to Dallas next week.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Well, congratulations.
Busy time, you know?
That's right. Well, Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, thank you so much for joining us. Check out Jeff at CatholicFoodie.com. We'll talk to you next Friday, Jeff.
Thank you all. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Wow, it has been a busy week. Last weekend was festivals, local parish festivals, Festival International in Lafayette. Lots of stuff going on. So check the calendar. You can go to ccradio.live and see what's going on in our community. Stick around. Rob Bennett is talking about the book, These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Back to Wake Up 48 after the hour on a Friday. Damian Collado along with Alicia Quivido and Gabby Smith. And at this time, do we have Rod ready to go?
Still working on Rod.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, there's a big art show tonight, right, Alicia?
There is tonight. And tickets, I think, are still available. It's a Catholic art showcase, and that is happening tonight at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Prairieville, Louisiana. That starts at 5:30 and will conclude at 7. They will have a program that starts at 7 p.m. And will include, there will be food and a bar and live music. It will be a wonderful event. And this is hosted by a new art group of folks. So it should be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and some artists that we know here from Baton Rouge. Jacob Zuma will be there. Norman Fauché will be there, among many others. So if you're out and about, there is a cost to attend.
$20, I believe, huh?
There is a cost of $20 to attend, and I'm actually not sure if you can pay at the door, but
I think you can.
If you're interested.
Yeah, I think you can.
All right.
But there is food and drink, as Alicia said, as well. Also, St. Rita over in Harahan, they're having their Spring Fest today and tomorrow. So if you are a member of St. Rita Church Parish, or if you'd like to be one, at least over the weekend, a lot of people like to attend church parish fairs. This would be a good day to do that, weekend to do that, because the weather's going to be awesome. And also, just so you guys know, come June 3rd through the 5th at St. Joseph Seminary College, it's a weekend of Come and See. It's you get to spend the weekend in prayer, discernment, and fellowship with diocesan priests, seminarians, and other religious communities to discern your calling. So there's going to be a number of people there to talk about their order, whether it's the Carmelite nuns or the vocation directors from many dioceses. They're going to be there to chat with you. And if you'd like more information and want to sign up, go to diobr.org/vocations, diobr.org/vocations. And I know over this past weekend, Father Josh Johnson at St. Joseph Abbey had 30 young men there who were discerning the priesthood.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, we're going to be talking to Father Andrew Merrick on Monday about vocations as well on National Vocation Day. So that'll be on Monday's show for Wake Up. But since you threw an event out for June, I'm going to throw one out for May that I'm very excited about. The annual St. Clair Seafood Festival in Waveland, Mississippi. You guys, the Gulf Coast really knows how to throw those seafood festivals, especially in the summertime. May 27th through May 29th over at St. Clair's. I don't know if you guys have ever been over there to that parish, but it's right across the street from the beach. Beautiful parish, windows facing the Gulf of Mexico while you're there celebrating Mass. Absolutely gorgeous. So they're going to have a car show. They're going to have Category 6 playing along with all a bunch of other bands. And, of course, tons of food. So definitely go and support St. Clair over in Waveland. Again, that's May 27th through May 29th. So highly recommend. It's really widely attended, just like Our Lady of the Gulf's Crab Fest on 4th of July weekend. That's another fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are making plans for their children this summer for fun activities. Be sure to check out St. Michael High School in Baton Rouge. That's SMHSBR.org. There's so many wonderful summer camps, sports camps, all kind of fun. They also have Summer Faith Camp. There are two opportunities that will be in July 18th through 22nd. They're both directed by the St. Michael High School Campus Ministry team, which is awesome. So there is a Journey with Jesus for grades 1 through 5, and then a junior high faith camp called, the name of it is called, and that is for students 6th grade through 8th grade. So check those out. Those are listed again on smhsbr.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the link to get to summer camps. The faith camp is included in all those. There's band camp, baseball camp, basketball camp, lots of wonderful things. So be sure and check that out.
And if you've been trying to decide what to get Mom for Mother's Day and haven't come up with anything yet, here's a thought. You can have Mom attend a retreat for women. It's called Broken and Beloved, and it's going to be next weekend, May 13th through the 15th, at Our Lady of the Bayou's Retreat Center in Abbeville. Broken and Beloved aims at providing theology of the body, catechesis, and evangelization in a retreat setting for women. And it's very focused on building your relationship and family life. So the cost is $280. If you'd like more information, go to dumboxministries.com. That's dumboxministries.com. And they always put on a good event, what it is.
And if you're looking for a last-minute gift for Mother's Day, don't forget, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, to stop by the Shepherd Staff gift shop at Sister Dulcie's Ministry on George O'Neill Lane. I know they have abbreviated Friday hours, but I bet you today they're not going to. You can give them a call out at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center and find out at what those hours are today. But I was there yesterday, and there are so many beautiful things.
Checking things out, huh?
I was there for the Women's Giving Circle of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We had a beautiful Mass celebrated by Father Jamin David. So yeah, it was beautiful. And why not pop into the gift shop? You're right there.
It is a good idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always have to give a plug in for my folks down in Chalmette where I grew up. The Tomato Festival's coming up, folks, next weekend. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's always a fun time. And if you haven't been to the Tomato Festival in a while because of COVID, time to get back into action.
Is that the Creole one? But that's at the French market, the Creole tomato.
Yeah, but they, believe me, Creole tomatoes are grown in the Chalmette area, even to this day.
That's the only place?
No.
I'm just kidding. Okay. But, okay. That's their claim to fame. That's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it is. It is a claim to fame. I grew up eating tomato sandwiches. Trust me.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little mayonnaise on that?
Of course.
Okay,
a little something happened. That adds that little zing you need.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
All right, we got time for one more event.
I think
Alicia?
So. Well, Women Destined to Serve 2022 Women's Retreat. That's May 7th. That's tomorrow, right? That's May tomorrow. That's tomorrow at St. Anthony of Padua in Luling. So check that out. You can get more information by calling their parish office at St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church in Luling, Louisiana. There is a cost of $60 that includes morning refreshments, lunch, and beverages. That's from 8:30 a.m. is check-in, and it concludes with Mass at 4 p.m.
Wonderful.
So check that out.
Okay. Well, it's been a great week. We want to wish all the moms out there a happy Mother's Day. And before we wrap up, I figure what better prayer than the Hail Mary?
I'm with you.
Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, Amen. Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.
Hey, if you're around, stop by 11924 Sunray Avenue. We'll start our rosary in about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have some events in your listening area we'll tell you all about. Dr. Tina Holland, President and CEO of FranU, will be joining us to give us their monthly update. Father Andrew Merrick with World Day of Vocations, he'll be joining us. And Jim Papandrea has a new book called Reading the Church Fathers, A History of the Early Church and the Development of Doctrine. So quite interesting, and you never know what you'll learn on a beautiful Monday morning. Have a wonderful weekend, a great Friday, and a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.